dialed in to Joe Bruker's Tactical Muskie Podcast with your host, legendary angler and Hall of Famer, Joe Bruker.
All right, welcome to Joe Bruker's Tactical Muskie Podcast. Take it away, Joe, the legend himself, Joe Bruker.
Hey, buddy, you know, it's fun. This is our first one.
Yes, sir.
And this is the debut, and I'm really looking forward to this. And this was suggested by you, and
absolutely,
I appreciate it very, very much. And that's why I wanted you to be part of it, too. You know, I've always told you, you make a great radio host because you got that, voice. I mean, my goodness. But I, you know, before we get into the serious part of this podcast, and that's what this podcast is all about. It's tactical, hard hitting, seasonally perfect. I just want to mention real quick that opening tune, that incredible slap bass on that opening tune, that's a tune that Stephen Paul and Joe Bruker did together. And it's called Surf Slap Muskies, and I don't think there could possibly be a better opening tune
than that.
And what makes it even better is you and I did it together.
Absolutely, we're always fooling around, having fun doing something.
You got
half of it has nothing to do, not 78% of it has nothing to do with musky fishing.
So. No. But yeah, we call this song Surf Slap Muskies just because we're using it in a musky podcast.
Yo, baby.
But man, you know, it's just fun. And you know what's so cool? And I've said this several times too. Said, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that can catch muskies, but can they play guitar like Stephen Paul and Joe Bruker together?
No, sir.
If they can, bring them on, baby.
Ain't met them yet, baby. Well, what's on your mind? What with the seasonality, with everything that's going on, obviously,
yep,
muskies just open. What's on Joe Booker's mind? What do you think needs to be on the forefront of everybody's mind to be successful right now?
Well, I think that, you know, when I speak right now, I'm speaking of the weather and the conditions we have up here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're experiencing up here right now. And of course, there's areas where musky season isn't even open yet, you know, right, in Canada and whatnot. But what's so funny is before you and I even got in the air, we're discussing even the weather's been nicer here lately than it even been down there in the Nashville area and east over by you.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Yeah. But you know, you can't read too much into that as a musky angler up here in the north, because you know, we had a late ice out.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of snow, a late ice out. We've had high water and flooding in you know, all of the river and reservoir systems here. So it's, you know, there's not a lot of weed growth. Water temperatures got up there a little bit. We had an unusually surprising beautiful weekend that we almost never get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's usually cold and then the 40s and raining and you know, that's pretty normal. But we had, you know, 80s, low to mid 80s, some places even high 80s.
Wow.
And yeah, it was kind of like, you know, mid to late June, almost 4th of July kind of weather, but not the pattern. And what we're going to talk about tonight is my favorite musky pattern, my favorite spring musky pattern. I think of things simply, real simple. And
me too, but for other reasons.
Well, I try to make fishing simple. Fishing, you know, and being successful, it's a simple formula. You've heard me talk about this. You've seen me talk about this in seminars. You and I've talked mm-hmm. about it on the phone and in person and on your podcasts. And it's there's three keys to fishing success: knowledge, skills, effort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in this favorite spring musky tactic, the knowledge, you know, what I'm talking about with the knowledge is where to go.
Right.
You know, what is the spot to fish for these? What's the spot that you're most apt to find these muskies on? Active muskies this time of the year. Not the only spot, but here's where I would go. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the location side of things, I would go to these shallow lakes. I would concentrate on these shallow lakes. They got these large, shallow, extended sand flats. They got bulrushes and reeds on them.
Right.
Now, up by us, we have, and even in the Upper Peninsula, And Minnesota's loaded with this kind of stuff too. There's a lot of that, you know, large sand flats.
Canada's what, Eagle and Lake of the Woods. If guys are, if you're listening to this and you go, I got to wait a couple weeks, but this is going to apply. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Reeds, bulrushes. Now this plays right into another thing that I always talk about, and that's bass fishing. You know, how bass fishing relates to muskie fishing. Well, I kind of discovered these muskies years ago, by the way, with another guitar player.
Frankie
Sullivan from Survivor. We're out bass. I've taken Frankie bass fishing, and we're throwing spinner baits.
They wrote that song about you, right? Eye of the Tiger.
It was originally
Eye of the Fire Tiger, and the producer said we got to back it down. It was the Booker Fire Tiger, and it was just not as catchy, but that was what it was based on.
It was actually Eye of the Tiger Muskie.
Eye of the Tiger Muskie, even better.
If you listen real close, you can hear David Bickler talk, singing Eye of the Tiger, and he puts Muskie in there once in a while.
I'll tell you,
no, I'm only kidding.
If we had 1% of that publishing, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Well, Frankie and I, to make a long story short, Frankie and I are fishing this big, big reed flat. And we got, you know, we got lakes all over in the Vilas County, Oneida County area, you know, Kentuck and Butte-Zaire and Twin and, you know, famous lakes. Mm-hmm. Those in particular are just tremendous for this tactic, but they're not the only ones. But anyways, we're up there fishing bass, you know, casting spinnerbaits in these reeds and catching some nice bass, largemouth. You're going to see crappies, and you're going to see largemouth up in there on spawning beds. You're going to see big smallies here and there. And that's good. You know, those are all potential lunch for muskies.
Right.
Muskies are up in there spawning on these big reed flats, or they've wrapped it up, but the food's all still up in there. So there's, you know, are there muskies other places? Yeah.
Right.
But these are the ones I'm talking about. This is the pattern.
Right.
So that's where the muskies are. And now how do we catch them?
Let me ask you this real quick, just for me. What's the depth range?
Good. You know, I'm glad you asked that question because I kind of take those things
you
for granted.
You told me to ask that earlier. That's why, Steve, eight minutes I'm teasing. I didn't say that. It was just Joe and me. It's too pro sometimes, Joe, when we talk. Why, thank you for saying that. Well,
it's the key of G.
Yeah, when you presented too much, why, thank you, Joe. For $19.99. Okay. Anyway, what's the depth range?
Well, 1 to 3 feet.
Okay.
Wow. 1.5. Yeah, 1.5 to 3 feet.
Where's the boat?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're keeping your, you know, where your boat is really varies with the depth and the expansiveness of these reed flats. You know, you can start with your boat on the outside of those reeds, and I kind of recommend that because when you hook, we're going to talk about this as we go down here, when you hook one of these, especially a big one, in those reeds, oh boy, you got your hands full. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, it's one thing to just tie up with a big muskie anyway. If you hook a big muskie in the reeds on a long cast with a single hook spinnerbait, and now, you know, he's moving or she's moving left and right sideways, and your line is just slicing and gathering on all these reeds and bulrushes. So, you know, you want to stay on the edge of these reeds. Mm-hmm. If you can, because it's an advantage to you when you're trying to battle these fish and get them out of there.
Right.
Okay, that's a great scenario, right? But right. Once in a while, this doesn't work that way because the reeds are so expansive that they move way back in.
Mm.
And when they move way back in these reeds, and you'll see them sometimes, you'll see them cruise, you'll see big wakes back in there, you see them thrash and bust things up, you got to move in. And when you move in or make really long casts, or both, and you know, then you got a challenge when you're when you're battling, because you're going to be the boats in the reeds, you got the fish in the reeds, so you know. But it has a little an element of fun to it, you know.
It's extra challenge sometimes.
Yeah. But you know, I've had some great days up in this gun. You know, I remember with Frankie, we got 8 that day.
Wow.
You know, and that's a fun day.
Absolutely.
You know, along with a bunch of bass and stuff. So. So, you know, we need to shift now from that into what we're actually using. Because, you know, when you go into reeds, you really can't fish treble hooks.
No.
So, you know, muskie anglers in particular are really have this, like, this aversion to single hook lures.
Why? I don't know. It drives me
well,
nuts.
But bass fishermen, that's not a big deal because you fish in spinner baits and jigs mm-hmm. a lot and you know, Texas reed worms and whatever. But muskies, they want treble hooks. And that just doesn't fly on the bull rushes and reed side of things because you're just going to be fouled up all the time. Or you're going to stay on the outside and make, you know, cast along the edge and you're not going to get into where the fish are.
Right.
So you got to go single hook. The number one lure by far has been a spinner bait. You know, my old original slot masters, Tough to Beat.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I remember first time Tyler Anders fished with me, the old guru, fished with me up in the reeds. And, you know, he grabbed a big chartreuse magnum, you know, slot master. And he caught like four of the biggest largemouth he's probably still ever caught.
Right.
You know, so you're going to still catch those bass on Absolutely. Those giant spinnerbaits. And then, you know, he caught a couple muskies doing that. And so the spinnerbait goes really well. It's just made for that kind of cover.
Did you know my nickname in high school was Slop Master? It had nothing to do with fishing, though. So anyway, continue.
I don't know if I can continue.
Go. So Slop Master spinnerbaits, continue.
Well, Mr. Slop Master, Master Spoon is the spoon. Weedless spoons is another thing.
Oh, like the old, you used to yep. have the, oh, those are awesome.
Yeah, well, they're like, coming back out.
Nice.
Can yeah, I have? We're going to have them back out by midsummer. We will have them. They'll be back out.
Nice.
I wish they were available now, but folks already have them. But you know, weedless spoons in general, bigger weedless spoons, the old Johnson spoon, all those things will work on these yeah. muskies in the reeds. The third thing I've had great success with is a swim jig.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a big bass swim jig is what I'm talking about, a weedless swim jig. My buddy Tom Dietz, you know, has had great success even this past weekend fishing this pattern, fishing that lure up in these reeds and just on these when the water's clear
mm-hmm.
and these fish have been beat up with spinners. Sometimes a spinnerless lure
right.
like the spoon or a swim jig just gets them. You know, put a big creature like a paddle tail on the back of the thing, so it's got, you know, it's really got the look
right.
that muskies would like.
Will you delve into, and because it's something I've not spent a lot of time doing, and you've got so much bass experience, how do you fish a swim jig appropriately? Like, how far are we trying to advance yeah. that? What are we trying to do?
We should do that sometime together. And you know, that it's one of those things that's kind of fun. And once you start getting confidence with a swim jig, you go, oh my gosh, why wasn't I doing this sooner?
Mm-hmm.
It's simply throw it out, engage the reel, and crank it in.
Just reeling.
That's it. You can add a little crank and drop, like a 1, 2, 3 drop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drop, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when those muskies are, you know, reluctant and just following it all the way both, sometimes gunning and dropping, you'll get that. They'll rush it and then gulp it on the drop.
Nice.
But those are the three lures. So when I'm fishing with two or three guys, one guy's got a spinnerbait, one guy's got a spoon, one guy's got a swim jig, and somebody's going to lock up with fish, you know, bass and muskies in those reeds with that tactic.
Now, locationally, I know we're looking for the biggest areas of like shallow reeds or shallow areas,
yep.
right?
Yep.
You're targeting your casts to hit the 1 to 3 or as far back as we can, right?
Yep.
So yep. let's say yep. we're on a body of water, and this is a loaded question because this pattern is something that I've stolen from you and I do here, but we don't have the reed so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's shallow sand, shallow muck. Can this happen in other places where it's just a shallow water bite, sands, reeds? Have you seen that, or how do you deal with that? Let's
yes,
say we don't have reeds.
Yeah, good point. You know, in fact, take away the reeds. A lot of these guys that you know, fish these Minnesota waters, bro, they just cruise these sand flats looking for these muskies just sitting up on these sandbars, and their sand flats are on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so these stump flats, you know, on some of these reservoirs, same.
That'd be me, check. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The same thing. So you know, the beauty is when you don't have the reeds, you can use some treble hook lures.
Mm-hmm.
You can fish some, you know, some small blades. You can fish some top water. You can, as soon as you add, you know, if you add a lot of emergent timber, whether it's stumps or brush mm-hmm. and stuff like that, that makes it a little tougher, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but if you got bull rushes, then you got to have the single hooks. If you have none of that, you just got clean flats, which we do in a lot of our lakes here too. You can bomb cast small inline spinners like our 500 Booker Tail. So the big thing now is just cover ground or right. cover water. You know, just get out and just cast. There's no real technique to it other than just bomb casting lots of water, because you're trying to hunt down these fish over these large expansive flats. Mm-hmm. And they can be just about anywhere. And being that it's a muskie, unlike a bass, they're not always locked up tight to anything. You know, you see a clump of reeds, you go, oh, there's a bass there. You throw right. something, you run a spinner base close to it, and boom, you get a, you know, you catch a bass. Well, a lot of times, you know, you're just throwing that thing out there in the middle of nowhere over one of these flats, and all of a sudden, you know, there's just a muskie laying up there sunning. And that's, by the way, one of the things that's going on here is it's, you know, the sunny baked sandbars seem to be the best ones. And these fish are just up there, you know, getting cranked up and soaking in that sunlight after the big spawn, and they're getting hungry.
Something I wanted to throw out here and see if you've had a similar experience, right? Because, again, the treble hook versus single hook thing. If you market a single hook musky bait, everybody gets scared. We know that, right?
Right.
When I'm dealing with, let's say, it doesn't even mean the early pattern to late in the year. When I'm dealing with nipping fish, mm-hmm. I go with a safety pin spinnerbait with a single hook. Because how many of those critters have you hooked through the beak, Joe?
Oh yeah, but the spinnerbait, and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, 90% of them, and
you can just drill them. And you kept talking yep. about you can't. I'm not trying to hijack it, but a good point of that is you don't. For some reason, I see clients. I'm sure you do it when you're guiding, and you see guests on your boat. They'll miss more hookups on a bucktail than they will a spinnerbait, just by the nature of how they hit them, and especially those nipping beak hitting
and the design of the lure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And boy, there's something that very few people have ever bought to the forefront, is that you snout hook a muskie on a treble hook, or you snout hook a muskie on a single hook. You're going to get them on the single hook.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. And that's what makes a bait like the Slotmaster, with this uprighting hook always in the same position. A spinner bait is always, you know, it's right. It's going to get them in the beak, you know, And here's the other thing, you know, let's move right into the battle of the fish then since we're touching on that, right?
This is the part in shallow water where we shoot them, correct?
Yeah, where they used to, actually.
Oh, okay. My apologies. I did that. We're still south of the Mason-Dixon. We're still shooting them.
It's really amazing when you think about how long I've been at this. Then when I first got into this sport, mm-hmm. it was right as we were transitioning out of not only killing and keeping every muskie.
Tell the story about the guy. Hold on. I'm not trying to hijack you, but I love it. Please go to
the one.
The guy.
The banker?
Yes.
The banker? Yeah. The banker, Cy Stein.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm this young whippersnapper guy, and this guy's been out with all the big, you know, big names, the greats. He's in his 80s, and he's like this elite client that everybody wants to fish with. And for some reason, you know, he was open that, you know, I was open a lot of days, but he was open, and he was with the young buck, me, right? When I first started. And to wrap it up and make a long story short, I mean, the guy wouldn't let me tie his, you know, I tie knots, I do all these things that this guy wouldn't let me touch his tackle, wouldn't let me do anything.
Right.
And you know, that all changed in short order, but we won't deal with that now. But you know, the long and short of it is, Cy hooks a muskie with me. And this is a funny story. And you know, I'm excited that, you know, I got the famous Cy Stein into a muskie, right? And so fish comes by the boat, and I'm getting ready, and he puts his hand up, and he goes and I pull the net away, and the fish swims out. You know, fish comes back again, and I'm getting ready, and he goes and this goes on and on and on until the fish is like, you know, the fish is laying belly up and is going like, please, please take me. And I finally, the fish laying alongside the boat, I said, Cy, can I net your fish? He goes, now you can net my fish. I net the fish, and I go, Cy, what in the heck? What's going on here? What was that all about? He says, you caught so many of them. He says, Yep, might have caught a lot of them, but I never got to fight one. I says, what do you mean? How's that possible? He says, every time I'd hook up a fish, as soon as they come even close to the boat, boom! they'd shoot it, and it'd be belly up, and then the guy would gaff it or net it. I never got a chance to fight one. That's the first muskie in all these years I ever got a chance to fight.
Things are different now.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm not trying to, dude, that's one of my favorite. Like,
yeah, it's. I know, those are great. And, you know, I feel blessed that I grew up, my whole career went through all of these experiences. So I got to see the whole, you know, the whole thing from the beginning of musky fishing, you know, starting to kind of get some legs to what it is now. It's just amazing to have seen the whole thing happen.
I'm sorry to get in the middle of that. Continue. No, it's fun. Had a point, but that was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think we're talking about battling these fish. Uh-huh. So one of the things that I like to make sure that people are aware of, you know, there's so many reasons we want to use long rods, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the, you know, long rods with these fish in reeds, especially with these single hook lures, the medium heavy action 9-foot rod, medium heavy power, whatever, however you want to describe it, mm-hmm. is so important versus anything heavy, you know, like a 7.6 heavier, right. Even the eight, but sevens and seven and a halfs and six and a halfs that we used, you know, for years back in the day. And the Cy Stein days, by the way, was all five and a half. I know.
Yeah.
Everybody sat down when they fished, but a 9-foot. Oh yeah. What are you doing standing up?
Yeah. Sit down. You're rocking the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Sit down. So anyways, you know, the 9-foot rod, once you hook these fish, 9-foot with a little bend, you know, I don't want a heavy action. I do not want a heavy or a extra heavy. I do not want an extra heavy rod when I'm battling a fish on a single hook spinner bait, because you're just going to tear a big hole in them and you're going to, you know, you're after losing. You want to keep them hooked. Mm-hmm. A medium heavy 9-foot rod is key here. And when you get them close to the boat, you know, just make sure there's big separation between you and the net man so that you can swing the fish in easily to the net. And mm-hmm. and let's face it, you know, when it comes to, you know, when you're battling fish like that and all that trash and cover, you know, taking them a little green, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's it. You know, I mean, that's, you know, it doesn't have to be any more difficult than that or any more complex than that. That's the tactic. So, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm going out fishing this time of the year, and believe it or not, I mean, it's the same thing I'm doing with the other species. Right. Is, you know, the main gun is getting put on a spinnerbait, swim jig, spinnerbait, spoon, get up in shallow water. To summarize this whole thing, spinnerbait, spoon, swim jig, get up in that shallow sun-baked sand flats. They got reeds, great. If they don't, there's probably something else. But it doesn't have to be anything with muskies. Mm-hmm. And just get in that shallow water and start bomb casting these lures around, and you're gonna lock up with one of these. You're gonna find, you know, and what's amazing also, these muskies in shallow water, you hook them, they got nowhere to go but up, and you know, they just yeah. they're thrashing. Yeah, they just make a ruckus and a thrash and jumping, and you know, and when they go through reeds, they tear up, you know, acres of it.
Yeah, just going nutty just, back there.
Yeah, but that's the tactic, and that's how I wanted to start our whole, you know, this whole tactical musky podcast was that you know, that's something guys can get on right now.
Yeah,
right now, get on it right now.
Tomorrow.
Yep, get on it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. That's amazing. We're going to be doing a bunch of these as we go on, as me and Joe find time and get her done, and you know, as he's inspired as the seasons go on here. You know, it's just awesome to hear it from the horse's mouth, if you will, Joe.
So you know
not,
what?
Buddy? I'm not calling you a horse, but.
Oh, gosh, we had a lot of fun talking about Cy Stein tonight. And we have to always bring in one of those great stories like that, because it's fun for our friends to hear that stuff. And it's just, it was a different era.
It was. Absolutely. Yeah. The game.
By the way, I also had to cook shore lunch for Cy that day, so I had to make sure we caught enough fish to get up on an island and cook him some shore lunch.
You know what? That's the day I quit. I'm like, no. Shore lunch, you ain't paying me enough for shore lunch, Liz.
I got some crackers. Hey, I made $25 a day.
$25 a day, folks.
Yep.
Amazing.
Gas was $29.99.
Well, what are you going to do, man? It was a different time, but, you know, you're still crushing them now. Check it out. Obviously, the baits, I would say the baits that were covered in this, you got your Slop Masters, you got your Booker Spoon coming out. Obviously, that's going to be available. And the swim jigs. Any recommendation on a swim jig? Because I know people are going to ask.
You know, the best swim jig right now that is a swim jig made by my friend at Dirty Jigs. That's a Wisconsin company. And he makes one. It's called the California Swim Jig. It's built heavy duty. Mm-hmm. But you don't need heavy weight. You need heavy duty hook.
Right.
So, you know, that's, and with muskies, you know, the big thing is, you know, if you hook them on a bass swim jig, you can catch them on bass swim jigs. You know, it just make sure you got one with a good hook. And when you hook up with them, you know, just be a little bit easy. Easy does it.
Easy does it.
You know, easy does it.
All right, Joe, we will see you again for the next Joe Booker's Tactical Muskie Podcast. Say goodnight, Joe.
Good night.